Rishus. The halacha mechutz emana is a halacha which many of us are aware of, the obligation for persons to honor a verbal agreement between two parties. Unfortunately, sometimes the particulars of the halacha remain a bit clouded and unclear when it applies, when it doesn't apply, and therefore I'd like in the short amount of time we have today to go through the main points relevant. So I've made the photocopies because we might have to move a bit quickly. Hopefully if anything's unclear, then at least it should be able to be clarified from the copy. I've split it up into three sections, but before then I'd just like to give you a number of scenarios, possible everyday scenarios which we come across. The first one is the case Reuven is selling his house. He puts his house up for sale. Shimon, another Jew, comes along. He sees the house for sale. He places a bid, £550,000, and it's accepted. The house is now what's legally referred to as under offer. It's under offer. There's been no kinyan, there's been no exchange of contract, definitely no completion, but it's under offer. That means that both parties have agreed to go ahead with the sale at the agreed price. What happens now is a week later, a goy comes along and places a bid to Reuven of £600,000 for the house. He really wants his house, he puts in a bid of £600,000. Is Reuven allowed to go to Shimon and say, listen, I agreed with you £550,000, but now I've had the offer for £600,000. If you're happy to match it, I'm happy to sell. Otherwise, I'm afraid I'm going to have to go pull out of the agreement and sell it to the goy. Is he allowed to do this or not? The second case, the person is in Eretz Yisrael on holiday, time comes for him to come back. He needs to get to the airport, so he calls up an Israeli Jewish taxi company and he books an Israeli Jewish driver. What happens then is he hears there's someone else on his flight who he didn't know about before, and this person is going to the airport in his own car and he offers him a lift. So he now has a chance of having a free ride to the airport. Is he allowed to call up the taxi company and say, listen, I'm very sorry, change the program and I can't come with your taxi? Here clearly he's talking about specifically when the taxi A hasn't yet left, because if the taxi's already left to begun its journey to pick you up, then according to most possibly it will be called Haskalas Monachi, you started the work, and then there'll be a different set of halachas which we can't go into today. And second of all, specifically talking about where the company and the driver haven't refused any alternative trip for any other people as a result of the fact that they want to take on this trip to the airport. So there's been no loss incurred and there's been no beginning of work. It's purely a question of whether you can go back on the agreement that you made to when you booked this taxi. Third of all, person's making a simcha, Baruch Hashem, he books the hall, and then he hears that there's another hall in town which is cheaper, maybe its facilities are better, whatever it might be. So he wants to cancel the first order, the first hall, in order to make a simcha in the second hall. Again, specifically talking about when there's been no loss incurred by the first hall, they haven't refused any alternative bookings on that date. So what's that happen? So I'd like to split it up into three categories. First of all, the category of when a person says he's going to give a present and doesn't meet his word. Second of all, when a person says he's going to make a sale, a purchase, or a rental, and he now wants to back out. And finally, a case when a person offers to say he's going to do a favor and he then wants to back out. As I've written up on the sheet. So the first case, the person says he's going to give a present, and then he wants to back out. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Daflim Tesla Mad Aleph, the person says he wants to give a present, so it depends. If it's a small present, and now he wants to back out, then he'll be a Mechusa Emana, he's lacking in trust, and says the Gemara, Ein Ruach Chachomim Necha Himenu, which, so to speak, can be translated as, Chazal frown on this type of behavior. Says the Gemara, if he promises, not promises, he says he's going to give a large present, and now he wants to back out, so then the halacha is he hasn't been over on any issa, there's no issa of mechusa emana. So the Gemara asks, what's the difference between a large present and a small present? So the Gemara answers, but just if I read out the lashon of the mechaber who brings down the halacha, he explains the idea taken from the Gemara. The chain, mi she'im el chaver is sorry, the mechaber is in cheshen mishmo, simen reish talent, sif ches. The chain, mi she'im el chaver litnei matana, someone who tells his friend he's going to give him a present, and in the end he doesn't give it. How is that? He's lacking in trust. When is it that we say he's lacking in trust? If he promised or said he was going to give a small present, when the recipient heard he's going to get the small present, he thought the person's going to honor his word, he's going to give him the small present which he said he'll give. And therefore, since he really thought he was going to get this present, if you now don't honor your word, you're over on it. Abel, the matana merugah, when it comes to a large present, ein bo chesaron emana, then there's no issa. Shari lo hem in ze sheyitin lo yidvorim elu ad sheyikne oisoy yidvorim shehem niknu bohem. When a person says he's going to give a large present, until you've actually got it in your hand, you don't think 100% for sure you're necessarily going to get it. And since the recipient isn't 100% sure he's going to get it, so the person who's giving the present isn't even on issa if he now wants to back out. So what is a big present and what is a small present? Right? The Mechaber doesn't give any guidelines, the Gemara doesn't give any guidelines. The Marivayel explains that a big present and a small present will depend on who's giving the present. If you have a rich man, let's take a Yehuda, a bar mitzvah boy, and a friend of his father comes along and says, oh, coming up to your bar mitzvah, for your bar mitzvah I'm going to buy you a bike. So now, says the Marivayel, it will depend. If the person who's saying this is a wealthy man, where it's possible that such a person is such a good friend, he would buy a bike. So the bar mitzvah boy thinks it's sucker true, sucker going to get this bike. In which case, if the person wants to back out, he'll be over on a issa, mechusseh emunah. Why? Because the person who's giving it is rich, so for him a bike might not be classified as a matana merugah. If, however, the person who says he's going to buy a bike is less wealthy, and for him it would be a bit unusual for him to give such a nice present, so then there wouldn't be an issa. That's how Marivayel explains to the matana merugah, matana etzes, will depend on who's giving the present. I'd like to add another clause, and that would depend on who the person is, the relationship between the person giving the present and the recipient. If, for example, a father tells his son, for your 21st birthday, I'm going to buy you a car. So even though this is something which sometimes happens, children are lucky enough, or fathers are lucky enough that they're in a position to do such a thing, that they can buy their son a car, so there are definitely sons who have fathers in such positions that they'll believe their father. My father told me 21st birthday, he's going to buy me a car. However, if someone is particularly wealthy and tells a son of a friend of theirs, for your 21st birthday I'm going to buy you a car, it's unusual. It's not a matter of how wealthy are they or how not wealthy are they. It's a matter of buying a car is not a thing that people readily do for other people. And therefore, even if a person is wealthy, it also depends on the relationship and on the type of present, whether it would be the normal thing to understand and accept that the present is actually going to be given, and therefore that will depend on whether there's issa or not. Now, what is this issa of mechusseh emunah? So the Gemara says, "Ein rachachamim neichehimenu." Chazal frown on this type of behavior. The Marsham, Rishon Shadron, the grandfather of the Maggid of Shonan, explains that it's a lot more than just Chazal frowning on your behavior. He says it's an issa, and Bezdin are obliged to ensure that either the chazan or the gabba of the shul concerned where this person comes go up to the bimah Friday night between Kabbalah Shabbos and Maariv, clap on the bimah and announce Reuven is a rasha because he broke his word. And the point of this is to try and act as a deterrent against Reuven and against anybody else not honoring their words. You see clearly how Chazal views this issa as something which is very severe. So that is the first case, the first category. When it comes to a person giving a present, it will depend on whether it's a big present or a small present. The second case, which is something which is very common, it comes to the case of a sale, whether it's a purchase, whether it's a rental, whether it's an employment. So here, the halacha is, there's no issur of mechusseh emunah as long as there's been no clear agreement between both parties. Now that means there has to have been a fixing of price, so both parties have agreed to what the price is going to be, and B, that there are no other things that need to be clarified and sorted out before the transaction or the employment goes ahead. So if there hasn't yet been a fixing of price, since either side know it could be that the sale might not happen because they might not come to agree on the price, so then there won't be an issa. However, when the price has been fixed and all agreements have been fixed, then there'll be an issa. What happens if people who go ahead, a house comes under offer, both parties agree to the purchase of the house, however, it's pending the person who's buying the house receiving his mortgage from the bank. So assuming that there's no unforeseen reason why he shouldn't receive his mortgage from the bank, but they write that in the not talking about whether they exchange contracts, specifically when they haven't done any kinyan, there's been no exchange of contract, there's just been an agreement, but they've agreed pending that the person who's buying it receives the mortgage. So here it would seem that there would be an issa mechusseh emunah, because both parties have said we are not going to do anything to jeopardize the carrying out of this transaction. In other words, as long as everything goes kaseida like it should, and the bank provides the mortgage, which there's no reason to assume it won't, then we've agreed to go ahead with the deal, in which case, if either side wants to pull out, there should be a problem. However, this would depend on whether the circumstances have changed since the agreement or not. Now, the Gemara in Balmaseya says, if a person wants to back out on a sale, there's an issur mechus emona. It's a machlekes whether that applies even when there's been a change in circumstances. There are more at the end of Siman Reish Talas, brings two opinions. First of all, he says, Hani mini b'chatzari. That which he's just mentioned, that there's an issur of going back on an agreement for a sale, is specifically talking about where there's been no change in the market value from the agreement to the time when a person wants to back out on a sale. Alo b'trei tari. But when the market price has changed since the agreement, ein zeh mechus emona. Then there's no issur mechus emona. And then a line later he says, v'yesh oimim z'afilu b'trei tari osu lachzum. Im chozo ba yesh oimishu mechus emona. Now those that say that even when there's been a change in the market price, one is not allowed to go back on one's word, and if one does, there'll be an issur mechus emona. And Rama concludes, v'chein nira ikir. And this would be the halacha, like the second opinion, which is the opinion in fact of the Rambam. So we have a machlekes here between the Rosh and the Rambam. The Rosh says, that which a person says, they're going to go ahead, let's say, take a case of the house, right? The house has been agreed, the price of £550,000. When a person gave his word that he's going to sell the house at £550,000, he meant, if the market doesn't change, right? If the market's going to change, and all of a sudden now, I have a bid that someone's prepared to sell me the house for £600,000, I'll ask Cain, I never gave my word. That wasn't what I had in mind. And since that wasn't what I had in mind, there's nothing wrong. Remember, we're talking about there's been no kinyan. Legally, there's absolutely no problem with going back on such an agreement. That's understood until there's been an exchange. There's nothing wrong. And therefore, a person has in mind that as long as everything stays the same it is, I'm going to honor my word. If there's a change in the situation, then I'm allowed to go back my word, because that wasn't the word I gave. I never gave a word with such an intention in mind. The Rambam argues. The Rambam says, no, there's no such thing. A person gives his word, he gives his word. You say you're going to sell the house at 550, you have to sell it at 550. Even though now you can maybe make more money, that's not the point. There are more pasuks like the Rambam. There are more pasuks that a person cannot change his mind. The Sma, earlier on the halacha where the Mechaber quoted this halacha that a person's not allowed to go back on the sale, the Sma says that the Mechaber doesn't differentiate between whether there's been a change in price or there hasn't been a change in price. Says the Sma, we can infer from here that the Mechaber is of the opinion like the Rambam. The same as the Rambam passing like the Rambam, the Mechaber also passing like the Rambam, that's why he doesn't differentiate. Which would mean, if we take the first scenario which we mentioned at the beginning, when Reuben wants to sell his house for £550,000, and now all of a sudden a Goy comes along and offers £600,000, the reason I'm mentioning a Goy is because if a Jew were to do such a thing, then it would come across the halacha of Onya Mechaper B'Charor, which we're kind of going to now. But let's say the person comes along, is a Goy, he places the offer of £600,000. So then it would seem, according to Amor and according to Mechaber, a person is not allowed to accept this higher bid. However, the Vilna Gaon and the Chasam Sofer and the Aruch HaShulchan all pass them like the Rosh. They go against the opinion of Mechaber and Amor, and they pass them like the Rosh, and they hold that no, if a person gave his word, he only gave his word if the situation was going to stay the same. If the situation was going to change, I'll ask him, he never gave his word, and he's allowed to go back on the sale. The Chasam Sofer takes this one step further. Says the Chasam Sofer, he's talking about a case when, let's say, the modern day equivalent, Mr. Cohen, owns a flat in Bournemouth, and now he decides, after all these years, he'd like to own a flat in Yerushalayim. He hasn't got the finance to have both flats, so he's going to sell his flat in Bournemouth in order to buy a flat in Yerushalayim. So he puts his house up for sale. Mr. Levy comes along, offers an amount for the flat in Bournemouth. The amount is agreed. It's now under offer. At this point in time, unfortunately, Mr. Cohen's brother, who doesn't have any children, Eretz Yisrael, is Nifta in Yerushalayim, yashting to him his flat. So now Mr. Cohen just receives for free a flat in Yerushalayim. If he receives a flat in Yerushalayim, he no longer has to sell his flat in Bournemouth in order to finance it, because he's now got one for free. Says the Chasam Sofer, in such a case, there's nothing wrong with going back on the agreement, because I'll ask again, you never gave your word. You gave your word because you needed the money to buy the flat. Now you don't need the money to buy a flat. That's called a change in the circumstances, and there's nothing wrong with going back on the agreement. As they pass on to the Chasam Sofer. So, now it's very important to point out that this opinion of the Gaon, Chasam Sofer, and Aruch HaShulchan is specifically talking about the case when the situation changed. When the situation changed, and therefore, I'll ask him, I never gave my word. If the situation did not change, for example, Reuven is walking down the street, he walks past an electronics store. He walks into the store, he sees, oh, a Sony stereo for £200. Right? Looks at it, he meets his requirements. So he tells the person, who's a Jew, listen, I haven't got money on me now, please put it on the side for me, I'm going to come back and buy it tomorrow. No problem, puts it on the side. Reuven walks out the shop, he's on his way home, and on the way home, he walks past another electronics store. Well, see, has a look in the window as he's walking past, out of interest. He sees, sure enough, Sony £170. £170, £30 cheaper. So is he allowed to now go back and not buy the first one because he's now seen it cheaper elsewhere? Here the halacha of the Chasam Sofer will not apply. Why not? Because when the person gave his word that he's going to buy the first stereo for £200, he didn't bother checking out whether he didn't shop around. He didn't bother checking out whether you could buy this stereo cheaper somewhere else. And a person should always assume if you don't bother looking around, it's possible that you can buy something cheaper somewhere else or with better circumstances, whatever it might be. And therefore, since the circumstances were always the same as they were when he gave his word, that stereo was always on being sold for 170. He just hadn't been bothered to go and inquire. So therefore, when you give your word, you have to give your word with the mind you're going to keep it if everything is the same as it is now. And the fact that I've been lazy and not bothered to inquire what the situation is, isn't a heter for breaking your word. The only heter is if the whole situation changes from how it was when I gave my word, so then I'm allowed to go back on my agreement because I never gave my agreement with that in mind. So now, on the first hand, we have the opinion of the Mechaber and Ramah, who passed them that the halacha is a person is not allowed to break their word even if there's a change in situation. On the second hand, we have the opinion of the Vilna Gaon, Chasam Sofer, and Racha Shulchan, who all say that if the situation changes, I'm allowed to go back on my word. So what's the halacha? What do we do? So Rav Vosden Sheva Talevi explains the Gemara in Bava Metzia, which you mentioned at the beginning, quotes the pasuk in Vayikra, "Im shechot tzedek la shechot tzedek." If a person gives a word, they have to mean it. And this is the Issa Dayraisa. If a person gives his word and he doesn't mean it, he's over on the Issa Dayraisa. Says the Sheva Alevi, when is it that the person's over on the Issa Dayraisa? If at the time when he gave his word, he never meant it. For example, a person is negotiating over selling his house, and Reuven is negotiating selling his house. Shimon is stalling over putting in an offer. So Reuven thinks, I've got a brilliant idea. I know Shimon can for sure go up more than 550. I'll accept an offer for 550 from someone else, and this should hopefully get Shimon moving when he realizes it's ready on the offer from someone else, so he'll have to put his cards on the table and put in a higher offer. So that means at the time when I accept the offer of 550, I have no intention whatsoever of selling it at that price to this person. If I do such a thing, I'm over on an Issa Dayraisa. When is it that there's no Issa Dayraisa? If at the time when I gave my word to sell this house for 550, I intended it 100%. I was going to sell this house for 550. Now, the situation doesn't change, the price doesn't change, but I back out now, I change my mind. Not interested anymore, I don't want to sell it for 550, or I don't want to sell it at all, whatever it might be. So there's a jabonon. There's a jabonon. If you give your word, you have to stick by your word. In our case now, we have a case where a person meant it when he said it. When he agreed, accepted the offer for 550, he meant to sell it for 550. But now, he receives the offer for 600. So the situation's changed. Now we have a machlekes between the Mechaber and Ramah, who say you're not allowed to back out, and the Vilna Gaon, Chasam Sofer, and Achash Shulchan, who say you can back out. So now we have a sofik. We don't know how to pass him. Says the Sheva Levi, this is a sofik jabonon. Because in this scenario, it's only maximum Issa Drabonon. So he says, since it's a Sofik Drabonon, between the different camps of Poskim and Halacha, a person is allowed to say Sofik Drabonon Lukula, and he's allowed to accept the offer of 600. So in the case, in our first scenario, the Sheva Levi is passing, the person will be allowed to accept the offer for 600,000. It's worth pointing out that the Aruch HaShulchan, who himself holds Me'ika Hadin, the person is allowed to accept the higher offer, points out that there's a Midas Chassidus, there's an element of Midas Chassidus to stick by your original words, even if it means you're going to have a loss in income. But that is Midas Chassidus. Me'ik Hadin, a person is allowed to accept the halacha, and they accept the higher bid, and there's no problem. More than that, the Beis Ephraim from Fan Zal Magudis is Mechadish, and he says that which the Mechaber and Ramah pass them like the Rambam, and they say that a person gives his word, he has to honor his word. Now he's talking specifically when the situation hasn't changed drastically. But if the situation has changed drastically, has now been the market price absolutely plummets, or faket, absolutely rises, so then, al daf kein, it's clear a person never gave his word, and even the mechaber and amar would agree, because he says it's comparable to a matana merubah. By matana merubah, a person knows, when you tell him you're going to give him matana merubah, he knows, hopefully you will, but possibly you won't. Here as well, when there's a big change in the market price, it's comparable to matana merubah. Now you might ask, why is it comparable to matana merubah? By matana merubah, if I tell a person I'm going to give them a bike or a car, so he himself, at the time when I'm saying it, doesn't think I'm necessarily going to keep my word. So at the time when I'm saying it, he hasn't got smichas daf. If I tell someone I'm going to go ahead with a purchase on a house, right? At the time when I'm giving my word, I've accepted the offer, the person who's buying it thinks 100% I'm going to go ahead with my word. Now, the house price rises drastically. So now he might realize, possibly, but what's I got to do with then? At the time he thought I was going to keep my word. Possibly to explain this, if one imagines a scenario of a stockbroker. You tell your friend, a Jewish stockbroker, I'm going to buy this share tomorrow at the price that we've agreed. This is how much I'm going to buy it. Tomorrow, first thing, 9 o'clock, I'm going to buy the share. The stockbroker wakes up in the morning, he opens the paper, and he sees there's been a market crash. Right? The stock price has plummeted, half the value has been wiped off this share. What's the first thing he thinks? The first thing he thinks is, I'm not going to go ahead with my agreement. If the price has plummeted, I'm not an idiot, I'm not going to buy the share. That shows that even at the time when I gave my word, subconsciously he was aware that if the situation is going to drastically change, then of course I'm not going to go ahead with my sale. He might not think about it at the time, because at the time he doesn't think the situation is going to drastically change. But since, from his actions later on, you can infer what he already knew at the time, that when you give him your word is only if there's not a drastic change. So then, Lukuli Alma says that if I am a person who is allowed to go back out on his word. If that's the case, so I don't know, the Beis Efraim doesn't explain what's called a drastic change and what's not called a drastic change. It could be that for a house that's on sale for 550 and now all of a sudden a bid comes in for 600, it's £50,000, a lot of money. That could be seen as a drastic change, in which case it could be that Lukuli Alma, whether for sure, according to Don Chasm Sefer Chashulchan, but maybe even according to Mechavon Amor, a person will be allowed to accept the higher offer and there'll be no problem. In the second case that we had of ordering a taxi, so here if at the time when the person placed the order for the taxi they did not know they were going to have the possibility of a free ride, and now all of a sudden a free ride falls into their lap, so here they can get the whole thing for free. Instead of having to pay, they can get the whole thing for free. So this definitely is the case of the Beis Efraim, when there's been a drastic change, you can get the whole trip for free, in which case it would seem Lukuli Alma, a person will be allowed to cancel the taxi again, if there's been no Haskolas Malach, the taxi hasn't already left, and there's been no loss by the fact that the taxi didn't have to defer any potential customs. However, and this is worth noting, if at the time when the person booked the taxi, they knew that there was someone else going to the airport, and they knew that there's a possibility that they're going to get that ride, just they wanted to cover themselves, they wanted to book a taxi just in case, and they know, worst comes to worst, we can always cancel it, so this should be a problem. If they knew they were going to cancel it, then they're not only over it's a drabbonon, they're over it's a deraisa. So that means at the time when they made the agreement, they had no intention of keeping the agreement. And if they did think that there's a possibility they're going to keep the agreement, but they're not sure, so that means the situation hadn't really changed. They always knew there was a possibility that they were going to be able to get a ride. In which case, the whole heter of trei tari, of when there's a change in the circumstances, won't apply, and pashas will be over on Issa Jabon. So therefore, person has to always think before they make these type of arrangements what the situation is exactly. In the third case, the third circumstances, is to do with offering favors. If people offer favors, and now they want to back out, what's the halacha? Does this Issa Mechusa want to apply? So in fact, there's a machlekes apart. Sorry, I'd just like to point out that which we said that the issur mechus tamona when it comes to sales is only if the shop doesn't have a returns policy. If the shop has a returns policy where you can bring back the item with your receipt and get your money back, so clearly there cannot be an issur mechus tamona. Even if you do a kinyan d'oraisa, you've got a right, you're entitled to go back and exchange, give back your item and get back your money. So therefore, for sure, there'll be nothing wrong with not going ahead with the actual transaction. And when it comes to favors, there's a machlekes, the Rosh says that there's nothing, if a person offers to do a favor, since a favor is something where kinyan cannot take effect on it, the whole halacha mechus tamona is only on something where it's possible to do a kinyan, like a sale, an employment, a present, Now, if you offer to do someone a favor, then there's no issur mechus emono if a person backs out on his word. Rav Moshe Feinstein passes that is, and he gives an example. The Mechaber says in Shulchan Aruch, if a person does a kinyan that they're going to lend someone else money, the kinyan doesn't work. That's called a kinyan etim. It's a kinyan that you're going to do something, you're going to give something, and it has no meaning whatsoever. Therefore, if a person has a kinyan, they're going to lend money, the kinyan doesn't work. If the kinyan doesn't work, so if a person says, I'll lend you money, and then they don't want to lend the money anymore, there is no isra. However, if the person they're telling they're going to lend the money is an oni, so then they could come under the halacha of making a neder to tzedakah, that would be a different set of halachas. The Chasam Sofer, however, argues with this, and he says, no, even when a person says he's going to do a favor, he's obliged to keep his word. He's speaking about that he brings a riot from the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Samach Dalet near there, which we haven't got time to go through now, but the halacha of the Mila. And there the Ramah says a person should find an upright kosher of moel, and what happens, and he's not meant to change from the moel he offers. If you offer one moel, you shouldn't now change and offer it to another moel. However, he says, if you do go ahead and change it, then the change works. And even if you did a kinyan that you're going to give the first moel the job of doing Mila on your son, the kinyan doesn't have any effect. So first of all, you see from this Ramah that it's something where a kinyan doesn't work, and nevertheless, there's an issa to break your word. There's an issa mechus emon. The Taz on this halacha says that is only talking about when the mel who you now want to give the mila to wasn't was available initially. You could always have offered it to him. So now don't break your word. But if he was never available, let's say you ask a mel to do it on the eighth day, now the baby is yellow, it's yellow for a time, and now all of a sudden this mel who's either a mishpacha or he's a chosh of ra, he's now available. So that's called the situation changing. So there's the Taz. Then you're allowed to go back and offer a second person. So here you see two things. You see number one, that even by a favor where a kinyan doesn't work, you can go back on your word. So there's an issur to go back on your word, but if the situation's changed, then you're allowed to go back on your word. So therefore, if a person is offers to do a favor, but now the circumstances change, then it would seem that l'kuli alma a person would have what to be semichon and not have to worry about not keeping his word. First of all, there's machlekes if by a favor there's a tool. And second of all, there's machlekes even by things which have a problem with chusay mona, if when the situation changes there's a problem. This is a sophic jabonon, it's a sex sake jabonon, there wouldn't be a problem. And finally, the Marsham paskens that all these halachas of chusay mona only apply between two Jews, but between a goy, if a person tells a goy he accepts a bid on his house, let's say 550 from a goy, and now he wants to go back on the agreement. Says the Marsham, since a goy understands until you've done a kinyan, there's nothing that's binding you to keep your word, so therefore the goy himself doesn't have smichas das. He's rushing to go ahead with the exchange of contract because he knows there's nothing that binds you to sell the house to him. So therefore, since the goy doesn't have smichas das, there's no problem with going back on your word as long as there's no kashash of a chilul Hashem. However, if for example, they bring the example of a kinyan on a dova shelo bala olam, a kinyan on something which doesn't yet exist, which halachically doesn't work, but legally, the goyim in the legal world is shayach to do such a thing, a kinyan on something which doesn't yet exist, a kinyan in futures, whatever it might be. So then, since the goy thinks that the kinyan does work, so then he thinks that you're bound to honor your word, in which case you would be taka mechuyav midin mechus emono to honor your word. And just to go back to the third scenario which we had, person books a hall and now he wants to back out. So here, if the second hall always has the cheaper price and it always has the better facilities, just he hadn't bothered to check around what the options are of the halls in town, so then there would be an issur of canceling the first hall and going to the second hall. The whole heter of trade tariyah, of a change in the situation, is only if the situation has actually changed, and therefore as a result of that he wants to go back on his own.